all around this nation, people are gathered right now. People are lifting up their voices. They're saying, thank you, God, for your grace, for your love, and for your goodness. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues for all generations. We're going to worship him this morning, and we're going to make his name great and say, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. And we just worship you, and we honor you. Amen.
share with you for a moment, and that song's pretty powerful to me. God's grace, and I love the part when it says, "I'm breathing in your grace and breathing out your praise." That's how we should live our life every day, breathing in God's grace and breathing out his praise. But I want to read this to you. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I know we all have our times of weaknesses, and we go through our difficult times, and you know, those times are not going to go away. It's not just going to miraculously. Everything is just hunky-dory. But through those times, God's grace is enough for whatever that you need. And we're going to sing a song called "I Need You More." And I just want you to worship the Lord this morning and praise him and thank him for his grace. And that when you need more, he's there to give it to you.
More than words can say, I need you. pause right here for a moment. We was going to do a segment of healing and a couple more songs, but if you're here this morning and you just need a touch from the Lord in your body, your soul, your spirit, just come down and stand across the front and let some people come down and minister to you. One touch from the Lord in a moment can do more than anything else. So we just ask you to come now. So we just pause and give him opportunity to do what he loves to do. That is touch people's hearts and touch people's lives.
My God, you are enough.
take it all, my life in your hand. I lay down my life, I take up my cross, Jesus. You are my God, whatever the cost, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all.
Take it all, oh, take it all. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Oh, take it all. Sing to him, my heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all. Tell them to take it all. Oh, we glorify you. Oh, we lift you up high.
My heart is yours. Take it all, take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all, take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all, take it all. My life in your hands.
Father, we worship you. This next song says, we glorify your name. And what that simply means is, of course, God is all, he is all glory. And so what does that mean for us to give him glory? How do we give God something that he already is? And what it is us saying that, Father, we acknowledge who you are. And we are acknowledging his character. We are acknowledging every attribute of who he is. And so when I say we glorify your name, what I am doing is saying, Father, I acknowledge, Lord, that there is no other name, and that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and whoever runs into it, God rescues. The name of the Lord is goodness. The name of the Lord is grace. It's mercy. And that's when I say I glorify your name, I'm acknowledging who he is and who he is within me. So as you sing this song and you say we glorify your name, do it with a knowledge that you are glorifying him and acknowledging who he is.
We glorify your name. We glorify your name.
Praise is yours.
The high.
Presence. We are so thankful, God. Lord, that you sit on the throne, that you, Father, Lord, are at the right hand interceding for us day and night. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into this house, to lift our voices to you, to praise you, and to say thank you, Lord. And this morning, Father, we say thank you. And everyone says, amen.
Kitty, just play softly for just a moment while we... Kitty, just play softly for a moment. I want to pray a prayer, and then this prayer is for this summer series, and I believe it's a prophetic prayer that over this summer... There's going to be a special presence of the Lord because He is all about relationships. There's nothing more important to God than relationships. It's what family's about. It's what friendship's about. It's what the church is about. He said He wanted us to be in unity and fitly joined together, and that every ligament and every joint is supplying what needs to be. Because you see, everybody here has a measure of grace, a measure of the Spirit, a measure of God to impart. And so it's not just a thing to do to come together because it's something really neat and special that God chose the Lord's Day to be a special day, a day of remembering, a day of contemplating, a day of reflection, a day to just get our hearts and lives right, a day to get perspective, a day to get insight, a day to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to deal with life, how to live abundant life, how to be fulfilled, how to have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus loves getting together with you. He loves getting together with you. God loves fellowship. He loves fellowship. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is what I'm just going to call a shotgun message about friendship. I'm going to cover a lot of stuff and talk about a lot of different things, but it's a deep-rooted thing in me. And mostly what I'm going to talk to you about today is that God wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. Above everything else, God wants to be your friend. I'll show you that in Scripture, but above everything, God wants to be your friend. And He wants you to transcend your understanding of Him to friendship. And it's just neat. God wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you, talk with you. Used to be know Him in the garden alone. He just wants to fellowship with you. God's a social God. He loves to socialize. He loves to see you socializing. As a scripture we'll read in a little bit, he takes special notice when people get together and talk about Him. He bends His ear over the balconies of heaven, so to speak, when you, as friends, and you get together and you talk about Him. And you talk about the wonderful things that He's done. He loves to hear that. I mean, if somebody was talking about you, you'd bend your ear over, wouldn't you? You want to know what they were saying? And wouldn't it be nice if you heard a group of people talking about you and they were just heralding your praises? I guarantee if you heard them doing that, you'd be bent over more. Yeah. So God bless you. I'm loving this. I've got 7 different speakers this summer because I wanted a lot of different perspectives on relationships. And I'm just looking forward to it. I'll be here. I won't be speaking every Sunday. Other people will, but I'll be here speaking some more, but also just soaking up this time with you and learning how to relate to one another better. Amen? All right, good. Thank you, Kitty. Last week, Will opened it up with communication. Man, if you're going to have good relationships, you got to know how to communicate. And I listened to it online and I thought it was a great word about some people just need to learn how to talk to one another. I remember years ago. See, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, the spirit you say it in. I remember one time I got through years ago and I went home and I had read a passage of scripture and preached it like I thought God said it. And he told me, actually on the way home from church, I didn't say it like that. Boy, that hurt. He said, you misrepresented me this morning. I didn't say it like that. See, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. See, you could quote, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen with her little ones, but you would not." Or you could say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Well, he said it like a loving and passionate way. "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen does her little ones, but you wouldn't do it." Amen. So I want to talk about friendship today, and this is my wheelhouse. I'll be honest. I may be boasting a little bit, but I can boast in this. I'm a good friend, and I know what friendship's about, and I can preach this message blindfolded. I can preach it hanging up and down in a well. I can put me in any place, and I can tell you what a friend is, and I want to give you some insights to friendship from a personal level, but mainly I want to talk about God who wants to be your friend. Proverbs 27:10 says this: "Never abandon a friend. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor or a friend than to a brother who lives far away." Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. You know, I found out one thing about friendship, that people I'm friends with, they love my kids. They love my family. They have a special relationship with them. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Years ago, I had a friend in Alabama, and he called me and he says, he's very upset and distraught. He said, "My daughter is in Oklahoma City. She's in an abusive relationship. She's not married. He's being abusive to her. She's trapped and she can't get out." And I said, "Just hang up the phone. I'll get back in touch with you. I got a friend in Oklahoma City. We'll take care of this." I called J.D. Glass, and J.D. got on the phone. I said, "J.D., here's the situation." I said, "If you got some people and the guys in the church, big guys, thugs, you know, guys that's like barely saved." And he said, "Yeah, we got, they're in every church, Spirit." Well, I said, "I want you to get about 3 or 4 of them. And here's the address of this house. This woman's in an abusive relationship. And you take those guys, you get her out of that house, put her in a car, put new tires on her car because they're Maypops, and send her back to Alabama." He says, "You got it." 6 hours later, JD calls me and said, "She's in the car, brand new tires. She's on her way home." He called up my friend in Alabama and said, "Your daughter is safe and sound, and she's on her way home." You just can't beat that. And a few years later, I had a need. And Barbara told me, she said, "Your daughter needs you in Oklahoma City. She needs some daddy time." And I said, "Well, I'll go in a couple of weeks." She said, "No, she needs you now." And so I could have bought the ticket, but I called up the guy I helped in Alabama. I said, "Dude, I need to be in Oklahoma City tomorrow, and I know you got gazillion sky miles." He said, "You got it." He said, "Hang up the phone, book your ticket." He booked my ticket, and I got to fly because of friendship. Never abandon a friend, neither a father's friend. They'll do anything for you. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, there are friends who destroy each other. I could stay on that a long time, but I'm not. It's negative. But real friends stick closer than a brother. There are some friends, they don't need to be friends. They're not good for each other. They destroy each other. They harm each other. They're bad for each other. But real friends sticks closer than a brother. I came to Jesus one time and he said, Lord, your brother and your sisters, your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside to see you. He said, who are my brothers and who are my sisters? They that walk with me. They're my friends. Wow. In Luke 22:14-16, I love this. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table, and Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Wow. Different translations say it in a different way, but I eagerly desire to eat this with you. One translation says, with fervent desire, I have to eat this meal with you. Friend in the Hebrew is a covenant word. I want to tell you what a covenant word is. Years ago, there was a tremendous movement in the church about covenant. How many remember how the word covenant became such a powerful word in the church? And there was this tremendous move of God about covenant. And the only thing that bothered me about that was half the people talking about it didn't have a clue of what it was. Let me tell you what covenant friendship is. Let me tell you how I've maintained friends for years. I don't maintain my friendships on reciprocal things. I'll call you if you call me. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. I've never based my friendships. You don't have to call me. You really don't. I'll call you. That's how I'll base my relationships on. I will call you. And that's what covenant friendship is. It's not reciprocal. You don't have to reciprocate. You don't get your feelings hurt. Well, they didn't. I've called them for the last 20 times. A good friend of mine was Dave Hunt. He told me over and over and over again, said this friendship would never be if it weren't for you. He says, I never call you. You always call me. That didn't bother me at all. I did a wedding last week, and for all the weddings I've done, first time I ever realized how important the vows are. And not just that, I've never heard whether people write their own vows or whether I do a traditional vow that they repeat. It never, ever, ever goes like this. I promise that if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. I promise I commit my life to you if you commit your life to me. I would do this for you if you would do this for me. No, all the vows, whether they write their own or we get them to repeat a vow, they always are one way. I love you. I've committed to you. I'll love you all my life in sickness and in health till death do us part. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you all that I am and all that I have. And it never says, if you will do this for me. What if everybody entered every relationship and it doesn't matter what the other person does? See, most Christians live by contracts and not by covenant. Contract is we both signed the deal. And I'll do this as long as you do your part, and we shake hands and we go, yep. That's a contract. A covenant is you don't have to do anything, and I'm here for you, and I'm always be here for you. And no matter whatever else happens, that's what covenant is. Friends are who you miss when they're not there. And they're always there when you need them. You miss them when they're not there, but they're always there when you need them. Now, you can't be friends with everybody. Jesus couldn't be friends with everybody. He had 70 he was close to. He had 12 he was close to. He had 3 he was real close to. Peter, James, and John, he took up on the mountain of transfiguration. He had 1 he was really close to. You read the Gospels, you'll find that. You say, well, Jesus had clicked. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Had his 70, had his 12, had his 3, had his 1. And don't you go talking to him about clicks. He'll come talking to you about relationships. He'll come talking to you about friendship. He'll come talking to you about what it means to be connected to people. Everybody said amen. Okay. When you're healthy, you desire fellowship. Healthy people desire fellowship. An old man one time said, I'm like an old dog. If I get hit, I'm going to run up under the house. Leave me alone till I get well. We're like that. When we're not healthy, we don't want relationships. Anybody ever been sick and you wanted people just come and... If I'm nauseated, leave me alone. When I get well, let's fellowship. Healthy people want fellowship. I'm saying all that so you get in your heart and spirit. When you're not healthy, you don't want relationships. So you need to stop and pause. Oh, well, I've been hurt so many times. So what? Who hasn't been hurt? Anybody here ever not been hurt? Really? You ever got run over? Yeah. You ever said, man, I felt like a Mack truck's hitting me? Jesus had friends. Listen to this scripture, Malachi 3:16. It says, it's not his fault. It's really not. It's our computer freezes up back there. We need money. We'll talk about that at the end. But this scripture says that they talked together. And when they were talking together, God took special note of it. You know, Ken was sharing with me a while back when you and Dr. Hitson, a couple other guys, Joey and somebody else, you went on a ski trip. And you told me about how wonderful it was and how you fellowshiped and how you talked about the Lord and how enriching that was. You see, that's not, you know, when they read the scripture where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, we used to read that scripture to when our little churches were so small. I remember when there'd be 10 or 15 there, well, the first thing I'd say on Sunday morning, well, he says, well, 2 or 3 are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. So he's here. And we're trying to build everybody up. He's still here. You know what he's really saying in that? Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, where 2 or 3 friends get together. And they talk about me. I'm in their midst. I'm very present with them. He says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. Wow. See, you guys thought you were just fellowshipping around the Lord. But see, God was listening to what you were saying. And he said he made a record of that and made a remembrance of that. And so in the future, when things come your way and you need some help, the Lord's going to remember that because he made a special note of it. Well, hey, that's a good time to say amen. Just because you weren't in that relationship don't mean you shouldn't benefit from it. When you get together with your friends, you need to tell them what God has done for you. And when you do, the Lord's going to take note of that and I'm going to write it out. Ain't that good? Spencer spoke a word of favor over somebody like the other Wednesday night, and the very next day, God just favored them in a real special way. And he called me and told me how God had favored in a very special way. So him this morning, how God favored in a very... God listened to that. He said, wow, listen. They're talking about me. They're talking about me. God created Adam. God's a social God. You know that? He's a socialist. I just said that to wake up some Republicans. I'm not. I'm just kidding. Just want to see if you're listening. Just want to see if you're listening. God's a social God. He created Adam and Eve. Why? To socialize. He came down in the cool of the evening. Him and Adam took a walk. And they talked. They talked. And that's when God one day, where are you, Adam? I'm missing you. How many know God knew exactly where Adam was? Adam didn't know where he was. He didn't know where he was. God knew where he was. And he immediately mended that relationship and that friendship. He said, those leaves aren't going to do. Those leaves, by the end of the day, not going to work. Here, let me mend this thing in a correct, better way. The Bible says there's a man named Enoch. And he walked with God for 300 years. I boast sometimes I've had friends for 40 years. I walk with God. I've been walking with God for 40 years. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Walk with God means Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God for 300 years. He didn't have Genesis. He didn't have Exodus. He didn't have Numbers. He didn't have Deuteronomy. He had none of the prophets. Only thing he could base his Christianity on, his religion on, his God awareness on, was his fellowship with the Creator. I love my dad. I miss my dad. But this is one of my favorite things I ever heard my dad say. He was preaching one time about Enoch. He said Enoch and God was walking one day. And they got so far away that God looked at Enoch and said, look, it's closer to my home than your home. Let's just go on to mine. Because the Bible said one day he was walking with God and Enoch was not, because God took him. You're closer to my place than are your place, Enoch. Just come on home. Come on home. You're walking with me. You see, God loves to have fellowship. Noah walked with God. Said Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. And you know what God told Noah one day? He confided in him. How many know friends confide in each other? Friends tell you what's up. I mean, if you walk in friendship with God, you know what God would do? He'll let you know to be prepared for what's coming. You say, well, how do I do that? Every single day of life, consciously and constantly be aware God is with you. God is with you. And commune with Him. Meditate about Him. Talk to Him. He's right here. You don't have to be in the church building. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be here or there. You can just say, Lord, what do I need to do about this? What do I need to do about that? Help me with this. Help me with that. And you'll be surprised how many times God will whisper to you to prepare you. You know, a friend, if you told them something really spectacular happened in your life, and after it happened, you told them, and you knew it was going to happen, that friend would say to you, man, why didn't you tell me that? How many has ever had that happen? Man, why didn't you tell me that? I can't believe you didn't tell me that. When a friend doesn't tell you something great is going on in your life, they're surprised that you didn't tell them. You know one thing God's never said? Wow. God never, that caught me off guard. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. God didn't come to the guard and say, oh, wow, y'all failed. Y'all ate the fruit. Wow, that surprised me. I mean, no, God knew when he put them in there, they're going to eat the fruit. Well, he did. He was slain before the foundation of the world because God knew when man was going to do. He knew he was going to fall, and so God made preparations for it before he ever created man. He knew it, and so he made. God will prepare you for what's coming. If you fellowship with him, he'll prepare you. He loves to let. God said, shall I hide from Abraham, my friend, what I'm about to do? Wow. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham, come here. This is what's going to happen, Abraham. And Abraham and God have this conversation, and Abraham begins to say, oh God, if there's 50 people in Sodom, would you not destroy it for 50 righteous? He said, if there's 50 righteous, I won't do it, Abraham. Pre-adventure me to say this. If there's 45 people, would you spare the people for 45? If there's 45 righteous, will you spare Sodom? I'll spare Sodom for 45. Oh, Lord, don't get upset, but if there's 35, and he goes all the way down to five people, he says, Lord, if there's five righteous in the city, will you not destroy Sodom for five righteous people? He says, I will not destroy Sodom for five righteous people. Why didn't he go any further? Had he gone on down, God would have spared Sodom, because they were friends. Believe that with all my heart. You reading stories. These are, when you read the Bible, these are real life stories that happened. We're writing them today. You know, you got a Bible you're writing. The holy work hasn't stopped. You heard him. In case you didn't, you're living epistles, written by God and read of all men. Your story is being lived out, being written every single day, and somebody's reading your life. You see, people don't see the Word. They don't see the Bible. They see you and they see me. And we're living it out every day, and people are being won to it by what they're seeing in us. Okay. Good preaching, son. Good preaching. God made a covenant with Abraham. It was a blood covenant. Life for a life. That's what blood covenants are. Remember, everybody ever was a blood brother? If you ever had a blood brother coming up, you cut your finger and he cut his finger? Well, I never did that. That was foolishness to me. I saw him do it. And they'd cut their finger and he cut their finger and they put their blood together. We're blood brothers. Yeah, that lasts about 2 weeks to the next argument they have. I never went that far to cut. I just said, I love you, man. But God made a covenant with Abraham, and he made it, and he cut it, and Abraham's asleep. Because God wanted Abraham to know it has nothing to do with you. Why does God choose us anyway? Charles Simpson, I heard him tell a story. Happened to him when years and years ago. He got filled with the Holy Spirit as a Southern Baptist, and he was in the church praying one day and said, this man walks in. Shabby looking guy, just really unkempt, said, really looked strange. And he walked in and he said, you mind if I go up to the piano and play? And Charles said, no, go ahead. And he goes up to the piano and starts playing. Charles said, he didn't even look like he knew what a piano was, but he played it like he made it. And so he just starts playing this beautiful and singing in the Spirit, just singing and worshiping God. And Charles said he remembered to be careful how you entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. And he began to ask Charles, said, Charles, why does God choose certain people? And Charles put on his theological hat and seminary hat and started thinking, I know I know this answer. He didn't know it. He said, why do you think God chose David? You see, God just chooses because he's God. And he can choose sometimes the most unlikely people to do the most extraordinary things, because he understands what relationship and friendship is. David come to understand that in Psalm 89. Man, he goes through this whole thing and talks about how God is faithful even when we're not faithful. He's faithful when we're unfaithful. See, we want to be unfaithful to who's unfaithful to us. God says, you be faithful regardless. Regardless. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Oh. Is that what the scripture says, Spence? Gospel said, Jesus, he's a friend of sinners. We don't understand this guy. He eats and drinks with publicans. Jesus said one time, said, you all are so messed up. That's Bierengaw's paraphrase. You are so messed up. John came to you neither eating nor drinking, and you called him this and that. The Son of Man comes to you eating and drinking, and you call him a devil. See, it don't matter how anybody comes to you. You already got your mindset on what relationships are. And he says, you just can't please certain people. John 15, verses 13 through 17. You ready? This is what he wants. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so the Father would give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment: love each other. A master just looks at his servant and tells his servant, you do this and you do that. The servant don't even ask why, because he's a servant. Master doesn't tell him why he's doing it. All the master wants from the servant is, you do what I'm telling you to do so that I can have what I've got, so I can be rich. You go to this field and you work this field and you do this and you do that because I'm telling you to. Jesus said, that's not the relationship I want with you. The relationship I want is a relationship of friendship, and I will tell you everything the Father told me. Everything the Father told me, I'll tell you. See, when you fellowship with God and you walk with God, he talks to you. He tells you what's up. Kitty comes to the piano. He'll tell you what's up. Is that the most awesome thing in the whole wide world? That God will tell you what's up? He'll tell you what's going on? You know why I knew to tell you that this summer series is going to be a special presence of the Lord? How do I know that? That's not in the scriptures anywhere. I never read in Genesis or Revelation, hey, Bjorn, by the way, in the summer of 2015, there's going to be a special presence of the Lord at Eagles Way Church. Why do I know that? Because I walk with God, and God told me that, tell you that. Now, is that true? I don't know. Is it? That's all I wanted. Is it true? If you believe it, it's true. If you believe it, it's true. It's just as infallible as the written word. If you believe it's true. See, God's writing history. Writing stories. And every day. It's not just the ones we read in the Bible. It's not just the ones about Noah and Abraham, Paul, he still meets guys and women on the road to Damascus. He still does. He still does. You know, we're looking forward this week, got a fishing trip up, and 2 days of fishing this time instead of just one. It's just ordained by God. And it's 15 of us will be fishing Thursday and 10 of us be fishing Friday. And, you know, it's going to be so neat. What I love about I love fishing, but I love being in the boat with other guys, with friends, with fellowship. It's just neat. It's just neat to see their faces, see the grace of God, see God. 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 through 4. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we've seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life and who is with the Father. And then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Oh, I wished I'd have been there with Peter, James, and John and touched him. Hear it firsthand what he said. And you got to understand, we'll be in a boat fishing this week. But you know what? They'll look over here and Calvin have an old rod in his hand just fishing. But I can reach over and touch him and touch Jesus. Have fellowship with him, because he is in him. And he says, I'm going away so that he'll come. Don't take your relationships for granted. Don't take your relationships for granted. You're touching the Father. You're touching the Son. They're not just human beings. It's God. Ricky, I played golf with you yesterday, and I got home, and I told Barbara, I said, I just love Ricky. I just love being with him. Why? Because he loves me, and he just speaks good things to me. And I just hear God talking to me when he tells me how wonderful I am. Because it is God telling me. So many Christians want to go to places and get beat down and told every week what they ought to do because they don't want to fellowship with God themselves. Israel told Moses, we don't want to talk to him. Go up to the mountain, Moses, and then come down and tell us what he said. I don't mind telling you what God's told me. I hope you get gazillion things out of it. And I'll keep doing it and keep doing it. But God wants to talk to you. God will talk to you just as much as he'll talk to me. If you were open to the Spirit this morning, you'd have heard the same voice tell you, it's going to be a special presence of the Lord this summer. Because I sense it. You hear God speaking to you? You hear God? Just that inner voice of the Lord. You know, we've been tithing for years and years and years. And I do it because God's word says to do it. But I wonder sometimes if I need to stop and ask the Lord this time what I need to give. We just do the same thing every week. Every now and then you need to stop and ask God what I need to do. What do you want me to do? You know what? God will talk to you. You know why some people don't ask the Lord what they want to give? Because they don't want to hear God say it. A good friend of mine one time asked the Lord, God, I was in a meeting, said, God, what do you want me to give? I was in the meeting with him. God said, I want you to give your house. A house that he and I built, literally built. Literally built. He was standing on the platform, he was bawling. He was bawling his eyes out. And he looked back, I was in the back, and he called me up. And I went up and I stood next to him. He said, Buren, God told me to give him a house. I said, dude, He wanted confirmation. I wouldn't. No. God had to hit me over the head with something to confirm such a word. But he did it. God blessed that man so much over the years. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Say this scripture. We're going to pray and receive the offering. Man came to Christ one time and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, Jesus said, "Do you know the scriptures? Don't commit adultery, this and that. I've obeyed, I've done all that all my life." He said, "You're not far." He was a rich man. Jesus said, "Sell all you got and give to the poor." And misunderstanding of that is that people thought he said, "Sell all you got and give everything to the poor." No, he just said, "Sell all you got and give to the poor." The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to do it. Peter says, "Lord, we have forsaken all to follow you." Good time to boast. This guy wouldn't do it. Peter had. Peter did. Jesus came to Peter and said, "Peter, I want you to be fishers of men." He left his livelihood, gave up his boat, gave up everything, followed Jesus. "Lord, we've given up everything to follow you." The Lord said, "Nobody. Nobody." Say nobody. Say nobody like you mean nobody. "Has left father or mother or houses or lands for my sake and the kingdom's sake, who will not in this life receive friends, family, houses, and lands, and in the life to come, eternity." You can't outgive. You can't give too much to God. I like some people say, "You know, preacher knows too much about everything, about giving and all." You know, it's evident in Scripture that when they took up an offering one time, Jesus was leaning next to the treasury, and he's watching everybody give. And these Pharisees are coming down, they're dropping, man, gold and silver, and they're just really filling up the offering plate. And Jesus doesn't say a word. But a little widow comes up and drops two mites. One gospel says one mite. It's important to understand why one gospel said two mites is because she could have given one of the two. And she gave all she had, and Jesus took note and said, "Wow, she has given more than everybody else has given." See, you hear this one? I can't give $500. I can't give $100. I can't give $50. I can't give, you know what? If you've got 10 cents in your pocket and you give it to God and it's all you got, he sees it. And he'll say to you, in proportion to what you gave more than Buren gave. You gave more than Joe gave, because you gave all you had. It's not how much you give, it's in proportion to what you have. Amen? So, I don't want you to take, you know, we're $10,000 behind budget this year. Well, last year we got $10,000 behind budget. I wanted to get further and further and further away. We're not going to do that this year. And so we're going to let you know where we are from the year. We need you to give. And God, let me tell you what. What matters is what God sees. So does he take note? Takes note of everything because he's here. God wants to be your friend. Wants to tell you what's up. What's up? What's up, buddy? Say, God talk like that? I did. So you must. What's up? Like, if I'm going to see David coming, I know what's up. David will come in and say, what's up? What's up? heard an old guy say to him, this young guy came up to this old man one day and said, hey, man, what's up? And the guy said, son, you have to be a little more specific than that. You have to explain yourself a little more. God will explain himself. He won't just say, what's up. Here, let me tell you what's up. He wants to be your friend. Ushers are coming to receive our tithes and offerings. Did you tell them last week, Will, how much we made in the... you didn't know. We hadn't. I'm pretty sure on the yard sale, we made over $1,400. And on the... barbecue, chicken queue, but 18. So thank you for your participation. Who gave the Charlie McCarthy dummy? Did anybody here bring the Charlie McCarthy dummy? Did you bring that? Thank you. You know how much he's worth? I know you don't. You wouldn't have brought him. See, I'm a ventriloquist. I'll show you sometime how I can talk about it. Anyway, I picked him up because I have a Jerry Mahoney dummy, and I went online a while back. He's worth like $500-$600. And so when I saw that, I thought it was Jerry Mahoney, but ended up Charlie McCarthy. Had his eyes moved, he'd been like $500-$600. But just the way he is, it's $200 right now on eBay. Thank you. So, you never know what you're going to find. Right, Joy? You never know what you're going to find. Keep your eyes open because you never know what you're going to see, what you're going to hear. Amen? God, thank you for the privilege we have to give. Thank you for relationships. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you give, and they're getting ready to close out with a song, let's do this. I want you to do this with me, okay? All right? Because this is what can happen. You can walk out of here, and if you're not careful, you'll forget about what you just heard, and it just won't have that meaning to you. It's what I want you to do in the closing. As we worship God, I don't know what they're going to sing. This is what I want you to do. The whole time you're worshiping God, I want you to be thanking him for your relationships. Thank him for your friendships. Thank him for your husband, your wife. Just be consciously grateful for the relationships in your life. Okay? And let this word, let this seed go deep inside of you. And take it with you so that you can go out of here and produce fruit. All right? See, that he did this so that your joy would be full. Amen? Let's stand and worship.
I want to share before we get started. And Dad talking about God can speak to you. And I was sitting there, and Dad was talking about giving. And just being on staff and leadership, I'm usually in the know of what's going on financially and stuff. And sometimes I will say to Chris, I need you to give some more money because the church needs it. And if it's always me just saying the church needs it, and God just spoke to me right there and says, he said, you don't need to give because this house needs it. You give because you need to give. And we forget about, I'm not giving to, we're meeting a need, but I give not because this house needs it, but because we need to give that. And that scripture is so true, and it's been true my whole entire life, is that in Malachi, and this is so good, Janice Moore, I don't know if you remember Janice, I'm sure most of you do. I saw her a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about giving, and she quoted the scripture to Malachi where it says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And she goes, that's usually the only scripture, the only part of that scripture that you think about. She says, but right after that, it says, and I will rebuke the devourer. And she said, that means more to me than the windows of heaven being poured out, to know that when I give and when I am faithful, that's all wonderful and great and dandy that he's going to open the windows of heaven, but he will rebuke the devourer. Isn't that good? So I just encourage you to give, because you need that. I need that, because his word is true and he stands by it. So stand, let's worship.
great day. We'll see you next week.